Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
What did we talk about last week? We talked about revival, didn't we? Revivals always started with the Word of God. And remember, number one, you have to desire the Word of God. You have to have a desire for it. Remember, babies, you know, they come into the world hungry and desiring food. That's the same way it is. It's a mark that you are truly born again when you have a desire for God's Word. It's so important. All right, now, and then they had to do what? Then you had to respond to the Word of God. Then you have to understand. You have to grow in your understanding, right? And then we talked about you have to do His Word. Don't just hear it. Remember, James 1:21 says, don't just be a hearer of the Word, deceiving yourselves, but be a doer of the Word. Remember, the word hearer is the Greek word akroate, and that means to audit the class. In other words, if you just audit a class, you're just there to get information, and a lot of times it's just for your own benefit because you really don't have to take a test and you don't have to pass an exam and you don't have anything to go with it. So we don't want to just be auditing when we come to church and hear God's Word, right? We want to be ready to take the test because when you take the test, now you have a testimony. When you have a testimony, the Bible says you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You see, you're not going to overcome the enemy if you're just auditing and just trying to benefit yourself. So we want to take the test. We want to be doers of the Word. All right. Now, we are going to, and we talked about our the real McCoy, remember? We want to be the real McCoy. You know, he was the Norman Selby, Charles the Kid McCoy. He knocked that guy out in the bar, and the guy, he woke up and he says, oh my God, this is the real McCoy. It was because of the power of his punch, he had such an effect in his fighting. Well, that's the way we want to be in our fight for our faith. We want to be effective, and we want to be the real McCoy in what we're doing. Amen? All right. Now, today, we're going to look in Nehemiah chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, in sackcloth, and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. That would be about 3 hours. And for another fourth, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, and the rest of them folks. Verse 5. And the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbani, and then they stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and forever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. All right. Remember, chapter 8, they were in true revival. And also they had the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? So we got to maintain that joy. And we're going to do that through our relationship with God. And that's what they're talking about here in chapter 9. They're going over and they're continuing in the book of the law, 3 hours, reading, studying, worshiping God for 3 hours. And then they end up and they stand up and they bless the Lord their God forever and forever. And they're blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. They are really honoring God. You know why? Because the wall was built The protection was there. The government was established. And it was like an overflow of the revival. You see that? Of the true revival that took place in Nehemiah 8. Now, something we have to take a look at is, remember, Nehemiah rebuilt the city, Jerusalem. And we're paralleling that to rebuilding our lives. And we can rebuild our lives no matter where we've been. No matter how ruined our lives are, we can rebuild them. And that's this idea from Nehemiah. And that's what he's doing. And so we can genuinely and truly rebuild our lives if we will seek God and put him first. If we will recognize who he is and stay in that. See, that's the key. Too many times something good happens in our life, and then we give God glory and we'll drift away from it. We wander away. We lose the wonder factor of who God is. And he does something great, and then we just kind of drift, and we don't keep that freshness, that revival, that excitement for God. So that's what we want to maintain that, all right? Now, they're talking here, and they're praising God, and they're literally blown away by what God had done in chapter 9. In order to maintain that, I like what Jeremiah said. He said in Jeremiah 9:23, he said, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man glory in his might, or the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he knows and understands me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and righteousness in all the earth. And in these do I delight, says the Lord." This pleases God when we glory in the fact that we know and we understand him. You see, that's what he wants from us. He wants you and I to know him. That word know in the Hebrew is the word yada. And it means an intimate relationship. Intimacy. You have an intimate relationship with God. That's what he wants from all of us. And he wants you to glory in that. Remember, the word glory in the Old Testament is what God originated and intended. And in the New Testament, it means to brag or to boast. So we should be bragging about the fact that we have this relationship with God and boasting in that, and that we understand him. You see, when you understand him, you do stay excited. When you understand and you really have this relationship with him, you don't lose that excitement. You see, you don't want to get away from that because you understand him. And when you understand him, you want to keep that and you want to share that with people. Now, number one, we're going to look at how great God is. He alone is great. Let's look in verse 6 in this chapter. "You alone are the Lord. You have made the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you." God is a great God because he is creator. We need to get rid of any of those thoughts of that godless evolution, right? And keep God in his rightful place, that he is the creator. In Psalms 96:4, it says, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all others." God is great. He's a great God. And we need to maintain that attitude of greatness towards him. In Psalms 19:1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." You ever look at an elephant? I mean, those things are awesome, aren't they? What about an ant? You ever watch an ant? I mean, it's really amazing to watch God's creation and look at his creation. Mountains, don't you love to look at mountains? You know, when we were in India, we went through this city, and it was like really packed, and, you know, traffic and screaming and just constant goats and, you know, all kinds of animals. And then we get out into this outskirts of the city, and we're going to this place, and it is just picturesque. It's just beautiful. All this green and these mountains, and then the sun was setting, and I'm not kidding you. And Prasad was playing this music, Carrie Joby, yeah. And man, I was just in the presence of God so strong because of what I was seeing. But you see, if I stayed focused on the confusion and all the poverty and all the negativity that we just came through, I would have missed what I was seeing in God. Am I making sense? And I was just overwhelmed with his presence. And I started weeping. You know, I was looking to see if anybody was looking. I just kept weeping. I couldn't help it. I was just taken by his beauty. Folks, we got to remember how great God is and see the goodness and the greatness of God. Sunset, stars, moon. Oh, don't you love that? You know, I remember taking my kids on vacation, and I would always, on the freeway, and I always say, look at that sky. And now you know I'll be with them. Oh, and they'll say, look at that sky, Dad. Oh, I love that. You see, because they're recognizing God's handiwork. And they always do that. And little Zeta, one time, she says, Papa, look at the sky. I thought, you know, that probably come from Papa. You know, I don't care if it did or didn't. I liked it. You see what I mean? We got to recognize God's handiwork. God alone is our creator. The Bible says in Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you got breath, you need to give him praise. Amen? It talks about the hosts of heaven worship you. That's talking about the angels. The angels are constantly worshiping God, and they are servants of God. But you know, there's something that you and I have that the angels don't have. We're sons and daughters of God, and we have salvation. The Bible says that the angels don't know anything about salvation, but we know something about salvation. So we should rejoice, amen? We've got something that the angels don't even have. 2/3 of the angels worship God, and 1/3 of the angels fell, and now they're under Satan's control. But we are children of God, right? Sons and daughters of God. Now, think about this. Number 2, God is a good God. God is good all the time, right? Look what he says in verse 7. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. God chose Abram. You know what Abram was doing? He was worshiping a moon god. And God chose him to be the father of many nations. That's a good God. He was in the middle of worshiping another god. And God chose him out of that. It says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. In John 15, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. That's the same way it is with us. He chose us. He chose you and I to do his will. We didn't choose him. And he's got great things for every one of us. Good things. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works because God is a good God. Now, God demonstrates the goodness of God. Abraham ends up in Egypt and his people, and then Pharaoh ends up in leadership. Pharaoh is a type of the devil, right? And Pharaoh sent all these plagues on the Egyptians, and then the last plague he sent was the death angel. But now God is a good God. God made a way for them to get out of bondage, out of Egypt, out from Pharaoh's rule. How did he make that way? Through the blood of the Lamb. That last plague, he said, if you'll put the blood of the Lamb over the door, the death angel won't visit you. God led them, because of his goodness, out of bondage and sin. You see that? That's God is a good God. He'll always bring you out of bondage and sin if you will recognize who he is. And he led them out, how? Through the blood of the Lamb. And that's the way he does today. Without the blood of the Lamb, you will remain in bondage and sin. The Passover. Now, God drowned Pharaoh and his armies when he parted the Red Sea, remember? And then the horse and rider, and they all began to praise God, and they saw that. 2 days later, they started complaining. They lost the wonder factor. Look at verse 12. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. God gives guidance no matter what. God will always give you guidance if you are willing to receive from him. Always. Moses, the Bible says that Moses was a great leader. Why? Because Moses listened to God. There'll come a point in time in your life where you will be facing a fork in the road. Should I marry this person? Should I marry this man? Should I marry this woman? I'm losing my job. I got a major financial struggle. My business is failing. All these things are happening. But and God has an answer for you if you will keep him in his rightful place. He will help you in your decisions if you are looking to him. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We need to value what God says. The reason Moses was a good leader is because he listened to God and received instructions from God. You see, Moses valued what God said and how God spoke to him in his quiet time. And that's the way you and I have to be. We have to value what God says. It says that Moses esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. All the material, all he could have had, and it was offered him. He said, I value this, what's in God, more. And you know, it talks about in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says that the word of the Lord was rare, and there was no widespread revelation. Now listen to me. Remember the word rare? The word rare, it doesn't mean sparse and sporadic. I always thought that's what it meant. But if you look it up in the Hebrew, the word rare means valuable and precious. And it says the word of the Lord was rare. It's valuable and precious, but there was no widespread revelation. You know why there was no widespread revelation? Because the people of God had turned their back on, and they didn't want to hear what God had to say. What's revelation mean? Revelation means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. Revelation means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. You see, if you really value God and you esteem him and you keep him in his rightful place, you are going to get a word from God no matter what everybody else is getting. You're going to get a revelation. It also means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. He's got a word for you, and he's going to uncover it to get you through the crisis that you're facing. And that's what we have to do. We have to value that and esteem that greater than all this stuff we see around us. You see, that's why we're over here in this school. We're not going to just jump into something and go into debt and do all that and buy the... No. We're listening to what God is trying to say to us. Come on, am I making sense? We're valuing what he's saying in this moment, because he's going to give us a revelation, a word that's going to get us all through the messes that we're facing. Am I making sense? I'm just here to tell you, because he's a good God. All right. Now, listen to this. He will lead you by his Spirit to know the will of God in all things. You must do the will of God in the small things. What's that mean? Here's what it means. Jesus said what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. You see, that's what we need to do. We need to keep that first and keep seeking that. And he says to honor God with your wealth, with your finances. He says that we're to forgive people. We're to have no unforgiveness in our heart. We're to always forgive your brother. See, those are small things. If we're not doing those things, how can we expect God to show us more of his will? But when you're honoring God in those things that you know that you're supposed to be doing, then he's going to uncover more to you and reveal more to you in his will. But if you're not honoring him in those things, then why is he going to entrust you with more? God provides, look at this, in verse 13. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses. You see, Moses was listening to God. Precept is a before thought. Moses was getting the thoughts of God and bringing them to the people. Verse 15, you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of a rock for their thirst and told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. You see that? Listen, God will provide food. He's going to provide what he said. He provided manna from heaven. Now, remember what the manna was? The manna from heaven was bread from heaven. And what he say? He says, don't take extra bread for 2 days, only enough for 1 day, because it was daily bread. He wants you dependent on him daily. He doesn't want you to lose the wow factor. He wants you to stay in awe and enamored with him. Am I making sense? And he's, and look at, and it brought water from the rock. He quenched their thirst. God is a good God. God is a provider, right? He will provide. I don't care what is going on out there. God has our answers. Now, verse 25, look at this. And they took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of all goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. You see that? And they delighted themselves in his goodness. That's what he wants you and I. They had joy because of his goodness. You see that? When we don't have joy, we're not recognizing the goodness of God. God, number three, is a gracious God. Gracious. He's forgiving. They strayed away from God all the time. They kept losing the wow factor. Look at verse 17. And they refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders. You see that? They weren't mindful. Their minds had all quickly forgot the wonders that God had done. How many times do we face a problem in our marriage, we face financial struggles, we face job loss, we face all these problems, and we forget about what God had already done. And because we're so wrapped up in the problem, that church stuff isn't all that, this Christianity. But you see, folks, if you don't, I always remember where God brought me from. I have to. I couldn't do this if I didn't have that in me. You have to remember where God has brought you and what he's brought you through. That doesn't mean you're always looking in the past. That means you're just reflecting on the goodness of God and you haven't forgot about it. That helps you to continue on. Now, they refused to obey. You know what? They were stiff-necked that you did among them, but they hardened their necks in their rebellion. Oh, stiff-necked. That's like the ox, remember? They couldn't get when the ox is stiff-necked, can't get the yoke around it to do the job, to get the labor done. And that's what we do. We get stiff-necked, we forget about what God has done, and we don't want to do what God's really wanting us to do. When really, what he's really wanting you to do is nothing but fulfillment and really going to bring power and joy into your life. Look at verse 16. But they and their fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. You ever just refuse God? You know God is speaking to you, and just later. I don't want to hear it now. But folks, if we're going to rebuild our lives, we got to be sensitive. We got to be willing to listen to what he's saying to us now, right? In this moment. They refused to listen because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. Now look, God did not forsake them, even when they had forgotten him. Oh, he's a gracious God. You see that? He's a gracious God. And they were not mindful of his wonders. Now watch this. They forgot about the Red Sea. God has done something great, but now I'm facing this and all these problems, and I don't want to recognize who God is. You see, that's where we get messed up. Look at verse 18. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, "This is your God that brought you up out of Egypt and worked great provocations." But now look right there before that. It says, "But you," and verse 17, go up about halfway, "but you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and you did not forsake them." God didn't even forsake them when they made another God. You know when they made another God? They made another God when Moses was up there getting the Ten Commandments, and they were tired of waiting, so they came up with a God. How many times do we get we face a problem, and we get ourselves in a problem, and we get tired of waiting, and then we resort to another God, or we resort to some other answer that God is not in, because we don't want to wait. It says he never forsakes them. He doesn't forsake you. He's a good God. Now, look at verse 31. "Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them, nor," what? "For you are God gracious and merciful. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God is always gracious. Isn't that something? Do you see that in God? Do you recognize how great He is? Are you keeping that freshness, that relationship alive, that first love? Remember that early love? We want to keep Him in His rightful place. Verse 19, look at this. God says, even though you do all these things to me, yet in your mindful mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. God will never forsake you. He is always ready to show you the way to go. He wants to reveal it to you, to let you see it. Remember the prodigal son in Luke 15? He wanted his inheritance, and he wanted it all now. He said, to heck with you, Dad. Just give me my stuff now. I'm out of here. So he takes it all, and he goes out and squanders it, and he ends up in a pigsty, feeding the pigs. And the Bible says, while he was doing that, he came to himself, and he remembered his father. And he remembered how good it was at the father's house and how well he was taken care of at the father's house. And then he struggled to go back because he was in a far country. But the Bible says that the father saw him from afar. Saw him from afar, got excited. Here he comes, my boy. Think about that. He said, get the robe. Get the robe. Get the best robe you got, the robe of righteousness. Come on, get it. Get the ring for his finger. Get the shoes for his feet. Kill the fatted calf. It's time to celebrate. And then he came down the road and his father embraced him and began to kiss him and hug him and was so thankful that he came back. That's a gracious God, isn't it? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Are you in a far land? Are you far away from God? He's calling you home. Are you living in the pigsty? Are you eating with the pigs? God is calling you home. He wants the best for you. All you have to do is call upon Him, and you'll be right there. Folks, listen to me. We're going to call upon Him right now. We're going to call on Him, and I want you to call on Him like you mean it. And you know what? If you really want to rebuild your life, I want you to call on the name of the Lord, because He's a great God, He's a good God, and He's a gracious God. So let's call on Him right now. Just say, Father God, we thank You for who You are. If there's anyone that has strayed away, if any of you have strayed away, we long to be with You and in fellowship with You, Father. Father, I want to know You. I want to know Your will. I want to know the calling on my life. I want to build my life according to Your word. Not my will, but Your will be done. Forgive me, Father, for not listening, for not heeding Your voice in the way that You've called me to. Father, help me to trust You. In the name of Jesus, from this moment, lead me and guide me by Your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life and the Lord of all I do and say, and I will trust You forever. Help me, Father, not to lose the wow factor. You are an awesome God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.